Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. I'm Hunter.
I'm Stu.
And since I'm starting off the episode, that means we are reviewing a movie. Reviewing or discussing?
Discussing.
Yeah, something like that. We're here in Memphis.
Yes.
Eating some burgers and drinking some beers, talking movies.
Yeah, so if you hear a slight pause and someone munching away, we're not being rude or anything. We're just enjoying this damn good burger from Burley's.
We're being very rude.
Plug for Burley's.
If you're in Memphis, Burley's Burgers, holy crap, it's
holy
new.
Shit. Oh, yeah.
And, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
It is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
You liking it so far?
I'm loving it. Mm. Chili cheese fries and a double burger that's about half a cow in there.
Yeah.
And some, we got beer? Coors Light?
Yeah, we're drinking Coors.
Coors Light.
We're going budget tonight.
This is about as casual as you're ever going to hear us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, usually we're pretty strict with everything, like, you know. With me doing most of the editing or just about all the editing, I'm really anal about stuff. But tonight it's just like, well, let's sit back, have some beer, have some fruit, and we're going to be discussing, which film?
Thor.
Thor.
We
both saw Thor, however, we didn't see it together. We actually saw it. When did you see Thor?
I saw it on Saturday.
Oh, you saw Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
I saw it Saturday afternoon.
Yeah?
Yep. I caught it with the crew over the USG, Rick Cole, Catherine, Jade, Jackie, and a whole bunch of others. And I forgot who you were. I am so sorry. But yeah, I caught it with USG 3, the event
it's
they held.
It's his way of saying you're not very memorable.
No, it is not, you ass. I'm just saying it was a stack of people there. Kevin was there, who did a really cool photo with the Ray Dinosaur and all that. But
yeah,
and
y'all remember USG. They've been on our show.
Oh, God, yeah. We cross USG's path many, many times.
And yes.
That is a very good thing to us, yeah, because they're very dear friends of ours. So I caught Thor on the Saturday afternoon. I think it was 4:30 session. When did you catch Thor? What time?
I caught it around 7:30.
Oh, you caught an evening show on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
did you see it in 3D or non-3D?
No, I was just coming out. We saw that in 2D.
I saw it in 2D as well.
Yeah, that was the way it was shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why I chose to see it in 2D.
Yeah, I think we chose to see it in 2D because I don't really remember why. Maybe 3D was sold out. It was just like a really
ridiculous
price.
And I know Rick is kind of like me, where if it was shot in 2D, he's like me.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And I mean, there was a couple of times, and I'll get to it when we get around to really talking about the film, that I thought, shit, I wish that was in 3D. But
a lot of the Asgard sequences were,
and it pretty much dropped off after that. But I mean, like me being the 3D nut that I am, when it comes out in Blu-ray and 3D, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because it comes with a 2D anyway.
Me too.
So. Oh, shit, yeah.
I am, yeah, but and the ending credit sequence was definitely meant for 3D as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
We all pretty much know what Thor is all about. It's based on a Marvel comic book.
It is.
And kind of loosely based on Norse mythology.
Yeah, very loosely.
Very loosely. I don't know if Hawkeye ever showed up in Norse mythology.
How weird was that, seeing Jeremy Renner there?
No, they're okay.
That's
We're jumping the gun here.
Yeah, we will get to it.
But anyway, you know, I don't think we're going to discuss this movie really openly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert.
Oh,
if you care about spoilers,
definitely a spoiler. I know it's only been about a week. It's been out about a week or so, but.
Uh-huh.
You know, be warned, you really can't.
But that's why this is more of a discussion and not a review. We're going to discuss the movie pretty openly.
And I will jump in and say before we even get to it that I was a real hater of this film. And not so much character, but Chris Hemsworth. Okay? Mm-hmm. You keep eating the burger, mate. You're right. I've got it. Chris Hemsworth. Okay, fellow countryman of mine. Actually, fellow guy from the same state, from Victoria. Up from Melbourne. Melbourne boy. Moved up to Phillip Island, a little island about 2 hours away. Now, when I first heard that Hemsworth was cast, I'm like, huh,
and for,
why?
You know, what did you know him from?
Oh, God. Okay.
Because you know him from something.
Okay, you guys all know him from Star Trek as Kirk's dad.
Yeah, the reboot of Star Trek.
The reboot, yeah, the 2009 Star Trek.
JJ.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I had seen him on TV for years in it's huge back home, but a TV show called Home and Away. Which is a soap opera, which is like, you know, it should have a credit on it, acting by Charles Bronson. Because The acting is poor. It's really, it's like in the dirt.
Hey man, Charles Bronson is all presence, man.
That's right. He's all these kids have no presence. And the show is predominantly kids, which Hemsworth was at the time. I think he was maybe 18, 19 at the time.
Okay.
And a lot of his time was spent on the beach with his top off.
Okay.
With his shirt off.
So, and he does do that in this movie as well.
He does it in this film, but I mean, yeah, I suppose that was like a ladies' moment with that. But so anyway, I knew him from the show Home and Away, and boy, I really am not a fan of that show. My wife is; she loves it. She's a nightly viewer of it, but I could certainly, you know, leave it and leave it be. I'm not a big fan of it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, getting back to, I knew about Chris Hemsworth long before American audiences did.
Mm-hmm.
So. That was my real major problem with it. I'm like,
Stu went in with his arms crossed.
Oh, God, man. Tell me about it.
And when we say Stu's a hater of this movie, he was a hater ahead of time.
I made it very clear. I mean, all you guys listen to... I don't think I made it... Did I make it clear in our ones? No, I didn't.
No, USG, no. It was all on...
All with Rick and the crew down the USG. I mean, boy, I really voiced my opinions. But I did say, if I was wrong, I would be the first one to put my hand up for it. Man, you're sweating there. That's a hot ass burger you've got.
Yeah, yeah, and it's hot in this room.
Oh, it's hot here. But anyway, so, you were right. I went there with my arms crossed, and I made it clear, like, oh shit, do we have to see Thor and all this stuff?
Excuse me. Sorry.
No, like, do we have to go and see Thor? And yeah,
this is uncut, like, motherfuckers. This is what you don't hear.
Yeah, you want outtakes. This is about the biggest outtake you'll ever get. So, I really made no bones about the fact I wasn't pleased about the casting of Thor. And wasn't Robert De Niro meant to be in this film or something?
I have no idea.
Like an early casting of De Niro. I don't know where. Maybe as...
Thank God he didn't, because...
Oh, God. That would have been an abomination.
Although, I will say, Anthony Hopkins...
What do you reckon?
He doesn't... Okay, Mark Kermode calls him Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Well, so do I, really.
And,
yeah,
you know... And Anthony Hopkins hasn't acted in a movie in a long time. He is what Cole would call a hactor.
Yeah.
I mean...
He's a hactor. That's right.
He is...
That's an Andrew Farmer phrase, that one. Hactor.
Hactor.
But that's a good... That's
he
a,
plays
that's
the same
really
role in every movie. He plays a guy, old man with gravitas.
Yes.
And in this movie, he plays Odin, Thor and Loki's father.
Yeah.
And he narrates the early portion. And he does it in the way you expect Anthony Hopkins to do it.
Did we actually ever see Anthony Hopkins lose his shit?
Yeah, remember? Remember he tears Thor's arm? Let's get into the
We'll get into the plot, but with Hopkins, like, I felt he was very reserved. He could have really unleashed as Odin. I mean, he's the king of Asgard. I went, whatever the hell he's called. I don't know what it is exactly, but he was just very restrained, and he spent half his time underwater or frozen or some shit like that, and was like, okay. But anyway, that's besides the point. We'll get to that when we come around. But the whole overall, you know what? One thing I noticed, one thing I didn't notice.
What?
I didn't notice Natalie Portman in the whole film. I swear to God, I'm thinking, oh, this girl's kind of cute. Who is it? Oh, shit, it's Natalie Portman. I had no idea until the end credit. Because the actual poster just had Chris Hemsworth wielding the hammer, and that was it, and that was, like, Thor. There was, like, no sort of names, and there was no opening credits, was there? It was straight into the movie. The opening credits were tacked on the end, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were. But.
But we did. Okay. So the movie opens. You get, like, this long history of Asgard and their enemies, the Frost Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of move to Odin telling his sons Thor and Loki about it.
Dude, this green stuff in this burger seriously looks like something from Troll 2.
It's lettuce, dude. Of course it does. Anyway.
Yeah.
Stu saw Troll 2 for the first time yesterday.
Holy shit, what a fucking movie. That was awesome.
Double-decker bologna sandwich.
Yes, sir.
Anyway.
No bug.
So, and we get the impression that Thor is very headstrong.
Yes.
Very much a...
But like I was telling you...
Engages in cowboy diplomacy.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Viking diplomacy, if you will.
John Wayne.
And, you know, Loki is very reserved and quiet.
Yeah.
But what happens is Thor is about to become king. when some... and there's this power that Odin has taken from the Frost Giants that prevents them from being, you know, tyrannical aggressors.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's kept in this chamber, and somehow the Frost Giants break in during Thor's ceremony to become king.
Mm.
And they try to take it, but,
And Thor loses his mind temporarily.
Thor is like, this is an act of war. We should go kick their butts. And so he takes his ragtag group of buddies out there.
Did you notice who one of them was?
Ray Stevenson. Ray Stevenson, the Punisher.
The Punisher from Warzone. I had no idea until Rick pointed out to me. Actually, I had no idea because he was heavily, you know, long hair and bearded up and all that sort of stuff.
Love Ray Stevenson.
Oh, yes. Very much.
I'm sorry, but I love Thomas Jane, but he's my favorite Punisher.
Oh, yeah. He rules.
I don't care what any of you haters say.
And Dolph Lundgren as well.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren. But less said, the better.
Yeah, even though I did buy that one when I was up in Fort Worth.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Got what is justice. Anyway.
Yeah, so, that's right.
I am a Ninja Turtle. So I'm going to meditate in the sewer and think about justice. If you brought justice in me. Anyway, okay.
With no clothes on.
I'm naked in the sewer.
That's right.
I am the Punisher, and I don't wear a skull t-shirt.
That's wrong.
That's like Superman not wearing his
mask. Yes.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Yes.
So he goes to the Frost Giant land, and he busts some skulls, and he almost... But then shit starts to get bad.
Yes, it does. And the thing is, what I was telling you before... We were out in the car. I said, if I'm wrong, let me know, please. Wasn't Loki the one cast out from Asgard?
In what?
In the comics and all sorts of stuff?
I have no idea. Oh, okay. I've never read the Thor comics.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. But if I'm wrong...
He's always been a side character in the other Marvel books I read, you know?
Yeah. So, Thor loses his loss of senses and goes and starts to, you know, a... goes to wage war on the Frost Giants. Mm-hmm.
And he does, gives them a run for their money, but they start to beat him back.
And that's where a lot of the 3D things or shots will come up. That's when I was sitting there thinking, fuck, this looks good, you know? And boy, I wish we had seen this in 3D. But that's
and
really
I love that stupid. I love that action scene because it was very kind of... I love that kind of Conan the Barbarian type action. You know? Just being a fan of Robert E. Howard. But so Odin bails him out, but he is very furious with Thor. Yep. And so Thor is
banished.
Thor won't back down.
No.
Odin kicks his ass out, banishes him to the realm of Earth, and takes away his power. He takes away his hammer.
Did you get worried after that when he got sent to Earth about it becoming like a master universe? So he eats ribs out of the bush and shit.
Okay.
I mentioned that to Rick, and I thought, oh God, if he starts eating ribs out of the bush, I'm gone. I'm out of here. But
you know what's funny is Mark Kermode pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
That Kenneth Branagh. He's talking about some musical he did, I think. And he said he needed to save the musical because it's all become Xanadu.
Oh, yeah.
The plot of Thor, directed by Kenneth Branagh, is Xanadu. You know?
It could... you look at it close enough, it could be.
It's the same concept. Deity from mythological land sent down to Earth.
Yep.
To accomplish something.
Yeah.
In Xanadu, it was to build a roller disco. And thankfully, in Thor, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
But it would have been awesome if Gene Kelly had shown up, though.
Yeah. Oh, Gene Simmons.
Oh, God.
Did you get enough? Like, were you jacked off with the constantly run Thor over? I thought it was a bit, like... I think it was, like, one joke too many.
Okay.
Yeah. That was...
Here's the thing.
Yeah. I don't mind comedy in films. But when you're going for the laugh...
Of course you don't.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I watched Chuck Norris movies.
That's why you watch Troll 2. But, Thor very, for a little while, becomes a fish-out-of-water comedy.
Yeah, it does. And the character...
And it leads to a lot of broad humor.
But the thing is, as well, with the character as well, the one who played Natalie Portman's friend...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't got my Facebook, I haven't got my lap. Shut up, you know? Enough.
Comic relief. Boy, that's a comic relief. Even Meg Ryan wouldn't have touched back in the late 90s in one of her rom-coms. I mean, she was really bad. And,
I didn't really mind her, but I could see how she could chap someone's ass.
Probably, yeah. So Thor's banished down to Earth, and where does he land? Is it out in the desert?
It's out in the desert. It looks like it's out in Oklahoma or something.
Really?
Somewhere in middle America.
It's not Nevada?
It could be. I don't know.
I don't know. Probably cross paths.
It didn't look desolate enough to be Nevada.
No? Oh, okay then. Yeah, so he's banished to Earth, and he's thrown down to the middle of the desert somewhere, and that's where he gets hit. And that's where actually how the film starts, isn't it? It's with Thor being hit by the car and them saying, oh, gee, I hope I haven't killed you, you're all right, and all sort of stuff. And then it actually backs track to Asgard and shows you how he gets down to Earth and the circumstances were to the point that we started up to the point we actually get to where the story really rolls along. And then Thor's tased. Taken to the hospital. He gets tased, that's right. Yeah. really fucking, what's a taser going to do to the God of Thunder, you know?
He had his powers taken away, man.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, he had everything lost, didn't he?
God of Thunder, man. She was the God of Thunder right there.
That's right.
God of Lightning.
Yeah, God of Lightning. So Thor ends up in a hospital and all sort of, and everything like that, and
how dare you touch the son of Odin?
Oh, yeah, I know. That was like a bit of a...
Oh, I thought it was... I laughed. I was sitting there going...
That's why I started thinking, oh, man, I'm gonna roundhouse a midget if I fucking this gets any worse. I don't even want to fucking deal with that.
But, some people complained about how it took Thor too long to get his powers back.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I thought
that was a decent amount of time.
Well, he's got to kind of build, because the whole thing is Thor needs to like learn humility and
that's right.
And then just sort of become a wiser king. And the whole thing Odin did was to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, that's right.
But shit gets real back home when Loki's starting to, his sort of silver tongue starts to come out, and you sort of see that he's working behind the scenes to try to
overthrow Thor and everything, yeah.
And
what do you reckon the guy who played Loki? He was good, wasn't he?
Great, actually. I can't remember the guy's name.
No, I can't. We don't have IMDb in front of us. We'll go on to, but we just haven't done it. So
look it up. It's a guy. He's good.
He's very, very good. But did you notice Rene Russo as well as the mother? Did you notice Thor winking at his mother like he wanted to fuck her or something like
that? What?
Yeah, I might be wrong, son, but he winked at her like, oh, this chick's pretty hot, and this is fucking mother. I was like,
I never got that. I didn't get that vibe.
That might be just me.
I think Freud would have something to say about that, Stu.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yeah, quite a bit to say about.
Or maybe it just means you also have a desire for Rene Russo.
Oh, I do.
That's what I.
Oh, most definitely.
That would be the.
But it looked like he was hitting on his own mother. I thought, that's a bit. No.
But I thought, Kenneth Branagh's other movies, he's very well known for his Shakespeare movies.
What would you call his closer to a Henry V or Hamlet sort of style, and more than Dead Again? Definitely it's nowhere near like Dead Again.
No. It's more of a Shakespearean like big.
Yeah, but we were saying before that Thor needs to be Shakespearean, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be big. It's got to have that air of, like, just this, you have the struggle between the two brothers and the stuff with the son. And,
yeah.
It's just classic. It's that kind of classic power struggle stuff that Shakespeare deals with that I think Branagh really likes. Because
you couldn't do a Shakespearean Spider-Man or something like that. Just really
No. Thor lends itself to that sort of style.
Thor has a grandiose sort of feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I don't know.
So anyway, Loki goes down and he realizes that Thor's been banished, never to return. He's never to return, is he?
That's what the idea given, but his mother says, there's something behind your father. All of his actions have a meaning.
Yeah.
So
anyways, Loki's weaving his magic up in Asgard, and
Loki also, and he comes down to Earth to tell Thor that, oh, father's dead, and
that's right.
It's all your fault. You disappointed him so badly. But
there was that thing as well with Loki going to the Frost Giants.
We get this sort of revelation
later,
that Loki is a frost giant that Odin rescued. Mm. That he's sort of a, I don't know, I didn't quite get the whole hybrid thing, but whatever.
But it wasn't so much, was he a hybrid, or was it the fact that he was actually raised as a frost giant?
Well, he was raised as a
birth.
Human.
Yeah, raised
birth.
As a,
I don't know, I just don't know how that works, where he can look like a person, you know. But, you know, but one thing, anyways, enough with the plot, you know. If you're listening to this, you've probably seen it. Blah, 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 you know, all this shit.
Yeah, you probably have. The thing is, well, that bothered me was with Natalie Portman, where...
Natalie Portman's the love interest.
Yeah, I mean, kind of that, but more the fact that, like, she's ordering S.H.I.E.L.D. agents around. Oh, that's my life's work. I want that back. It's my life's work.
She's ordering what?
The S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Nick. Is it not Nick?
No, not Nick Fury. It's just some...
That's right. Agent someone from... What I did like was there was a match cut from the very end of Iron Man 2, the scene after the credits.
Yeah.
Match cut exactly the part where Thor's hammer was dropped to Earth.
Yep.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was a real geek out moment.
Definitely the end of Iron Man 2, after the credits.
Yeah.
Definitely was like, hey, Thor's coming, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But the way it actually matched up, it was like, well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That does happen in the film. It's like, wow, here's Thor's hammer, yo. Bada bing! Yeah, mm-hmm. That's your next one we're going to give you.
But
so I did like that. I can't remember that freaking agent's name. What's his name?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Don't worry about it.
Balding G-Man.
Agent, yeah. Balding G-Man. That'll do it. You guys know who it is if you've seen him enough.
Yeah, he's in Iron Man 2.
That's right, yeah.
We're working on the name.
What'd you think of the performances in the end?
Okay. Chris Hemsworth, thumbs up. Really liked him.
All right.
Looks a lot like my friend Curry. It's funny.
Yeah, I did like him. All right. For all the tongue lashing I gave him over the ensuing months before the movie came out, I really beat him down hard. Yeah. Now I thought it was gonna be a mess.
You were like, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's a disgrace to our country, to our people.
That's right.
He drinks Fosters.
That's right. That's exactly why I'd banish him out of there as well.
Rolling around in his Holden.
Going roof shooting.
Going roof shooting.
That's right.
With a koala bear on his back.
Nah, that'd be a new sandwich, man. Koala burgers. But no, honestly, like, Chris Hemsworth was very, very good. I really did like him a lot. Mm-hmm. He was a bit stale in parts.
He's the sort of shouty, loud, blustery... Yeah.
I did.
Warrior.
I did go. I did actively look as well for the accent to slip out.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I was kind of listening for it too. Actually,
I noticed one word he said that he was like, "Oh shit, that sounds Australian." Yeah. But I don't remember.
Was it the one where he said he's got his VB?
Yeah, that's right. He goes, "I want my VB."
Me Holden.
How dare you take away the VB from the son of Holden? But no, for the most part, like for...
BB is Victorian bitter.
Victoria bitter.
Victoria bitter.
Yes.
Excuse me.
As,
It's like, I've heard it's like the Milwaukee's Beast is to Australia what Milwaukee's Beast or Bush Light is to Australia.
Yeah, or Colt 45, one of those. We love Colt 45, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Stuff will kill you. There's a game... people play here in America, mostly college kids.
Yeah.
Edward 40 hands. You take two 40s, you know, of whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coors, whatever.
Yeah.
Most people use something insane like Colt.
Yeah.
And duct tape them to their hands, both of them. They can't take them off till they're done.
Oh, my.
I personally have never played this game because I am not crazy.
No.
Really? Shut up.
All right, let's get back on track.
Okay.
All right. So, yep, Hemsworth, I liked. Hopkins was... he looked comatose most of the time.
That's the way he looks in every movie. He's Anthony Hopkins. He's just like, I am Anthony Hopkins. We defeated the Frost Giants.
Like the one... Remember the poster?
I mean, the only time he does anything different is when he's like, hello, Clarice.
Yeah, that's right.
Did the lamb stop screaming? I'd like to eat your liver with fava beans. Yeah.
But he looked the way he looked in this film was the same way he looked in the poster of Hearts of Atlantis. He's like this.
Yeah.
You guys can't see it, but yeah, it's like... Yeah,
you know the Hearts of Atlantis poster. Yeah. It's Anthony Hopkins putting his hand on
it. The comatose Anthony Hopkins putting his hand up like someone was putting a, you know, a burger in front of him or some shit.
Yeah, and he's like, oh. But no, that's Anthony Hopkins. He's Sir Anthony Hopkins in Mark Kermode. But,
Who else do we have? Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman. I thought she was fine. She did what the role demanded of her.
Yeah.
She
was so limited.
But I thought she was likable. I'm not a big Natalie Portman fan.
What about the love interest part? Did you like that?
It's there. You know, it's...
I thought it was a bit superfluous, really.
It is. Frankly, it is superfluous, but it's there. I didn't think it detracted, but I didn't think it added much. It was there.
So I was telling Rick, I thought this is going to turn into a Thor porn. If it kept going. A Thorno.
A Thorno? Oh, God. Boo.
Yeah.
Okay. Tip your bartenders, folks.
Yes, sir. All right. But, I didn't really go much for a love interest. It was like, it didn't need to be there. I mean, he kind of knew there was a chemistry. I was telling Rick as well, because I was sitting next to Rick. I said, if she goes back to Asgard with him... I'm gonna go fucking mental. Yeah. I really was like, don't you dare.
Fortunately, I'm glad the movie didn't do that.
Yeah.
Or like in Star Trek 4.
Oh.
You like that?
Shit.
You know? It didn't do that, so.
And they get there and he's like, you know, good journey, like, piss off. I don't wanna hear that sort of stuff.
Well, anyway.
It didn't get that way. Actually. Yeah, like Natalie Portman was. She's kind of annoying. I don't like her much as it is to begin with.
Well, I've never been a huge fan of her, like I said, but I didn't have any problems with her here. I thought she was fine. I thought she was likable.
Yeah.
But the love story... The thing is it almost feels like it's... one thing I don't...
You felt like it was peer pressure by the studio? That they need?
Well, it's almost like... I don't know if it's peer pressure by the studio or if it's just like these writers think it has to be there. Like, oh, we gotta have a girl for the superhero to fall in love with. Like,
Marvel's always gonna have a friggin' love interest.
You know, that's what sort of made... That's what's kind of weighed down the Spider-Man films and sort of...
I was gonna say, do you think they'll go out for the Mary Jane, Peter Parker sort of love thing?
No, not really, because it doesn't have the sort of... It doesn't dominate the story. Like, the Peter Parker, Mary Jane thing is a big part in the comics, you know? So you have to include it, but, you know... I feel like a lot of these movies have...
Hey, maybe she could have gone back to Asgard and he's back and said, can you read my mind?
Oh, shut
shit.
Up. Oh, gosh.
It would have been a stampede.
The worst part of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, can you... that's one of those things where I'm like, that is just a big rotten piece of that movie.
That's the sort of thing.
But, you know, that's... But Iron Man didn't have a love interest. Pepper, there's kind
Pepper
of some.
Potts, you're getting the
there's
idea.
Some. There's some stuff there, but it's there. It doesn't really. It's not a plot point. In the Green Hornet, the love interest isn't really a love interest. It's more like a girl who is not interested in two guys bickering over her that she's not interested in. But I feel like in this movie, it's there because they were like, oh, we need Thor to have something to attach to on Earth. And it's there. It serves its purpose. It doesn't feel like it necessarily has to be there. But at the same time, I'm not going to like slag the movie for it because it's there and it doesn't hurt the movie. Natalie Portman's perfectly likable. She has some funny lines, you know.
Yeah.
But who else is in there? We got Stellan Skarsgård.
What did you think?
Okay. Stellan Skarsgård.
He's a damn good actor.
When he wants to be. Sometimes he shows up in some shit. The beginning.
Yeah. I actually thought, like, a performance I really liked was in Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
He can really shine as an actor there. But in this film, he was lumbering.
Okay, there's a really weak scene in this movie, and it's one of the scenes I really had a problem with. The shield sets up this perimeter around the Thor hammer. Mjolnir or something.
Mjolnir.
Thor's freaking hammer.
Yeah.
So Thor breaks into this facility and, you know, whips the crap out of all these shield agents.
That's right.
And tries to pick up the hammer and he can't do it.
That's right.
So, and there is a bit where Jeremy Renner shows up as who I assume is Hawkeye.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be, because it's a famous actor in a cameo.
That's right.
And he's got a freaking bow and arrow. You know it's Hawkeye.
That's right.
And I liked that because Marvel is building its myth. It's building towards the Avengers.
Holy shit, like building it towards that Avengers.
Well, and that's but that's what I like about what Marvel is doing with their movies, is they're feeling more like comic books, where you'll see these characters show up, and we as fans don't...
Yeah.
That's Hawkeye. You know,
right.
Oh my god, I was just tapping Stu's shoulder furiously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and we go, oh man. Or like in you know, Iron Man 2, you know, you have a lot of characters come and go who are Marvel characters.
But as I was saying to Jedi Cole before we were going into the film, I said, well, this Avengers film wouldn't be pretty fucking good because if it bombs, it's going to be an Ishtar-sized bomb.
Oh yeah, but Joss Whedon, I trust in the Joss, you know. But
yeah, you do, but he tends to get jerked around a bit, really.
He
can do.
He can.
TV. Excuse me. TV-wise, yeah.
TV-wise.
But hopefully with the big screen, he doesn't.
Well, he did well with Serenity.
Oh, yeah. Serenity was a good movie. So, I mean, I'm not knocking Whedon as a filmmaker. I'm just saying he tends to have his work tampered with a bit. Let's just hope it doesn't transcend the big screen.
And he has some tics as a writer that annoy me, but I don't think they're going to show up here because it's...
Yeah,
another. It's an original property. I mean, not. It's not his alone. It's
but,
not.
But
like
if the Avengers bombs, for instance, do you blame Whedon? What do you blame?
No, you.
I mean, it's such a.
You can't point the finger at one person with something like that. But you know, we're trying to read.
Oh, you
the
can
future.
At John Favreau for fucking Iron Man 2. Because
I don't know. You can. I think you can point the finger at lots of things. I don't. I didn't hate Iron Man 2.
No, like, I was disappointed, as you would have heard from the 2010 Best of Show.
Yeah, I was perfectly. I thought it was perfectly entertaining.
Yeah.
Comic book stuff. Yeah. It was not. I would say the first Iron Man movie is a great superhero movie.
It is. It's very good.
I think it's one of the best superhero films out there.
Yeah.
But Iron Man 2 is not. But I think it is a good example of a comic book movie. But anyway,
But anyway, Stellan Skarsgård, get back to him.
Okay, so here's the scene I had a problem with. Sorry, we got way off track.
Yeah.
There's this bit where they capture Thor after he can't pull the hammer out of the ground, and S.H.I.E.L.D. interrogates him. Loki comes in secret and tells him, oh, you can't come home.
That's right.
And Thor believes him. So then we get... Stellan Skarsgård comes to the base and basically asks them to release Thor. And he's
he's got a fake identity.
And they got a fake identity. S.H.I.E.L.D. knows it's fake.
That's
they figure
right.
it out. And he's just like, oh, he's one of our friends. He was drunk,
he's
blah,
on
blah,
steroids,
blah.
Steroids, yeah.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. releases Thor.
Yeah.
But they go, follow him, eh? You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, and I know they said follow him. It's not like they were completely letting him go. But it felt like... I'm amazed this college professor guy had the nerve to walk up to a secret government installation and beg for them to release this person he doesn't know who got this girl in trouble. But
considering
that S.H.I.E.L.D. was just like, yeah, okay.
Considering he was a real dare of Thor, Thor's a myth.
Yeah.
You know, why is he walking in going, oh, he's a friend of ours.
Yeah, why is he willing to put his ass on the line for this guy?
That's right.
You know, that scene felt like, you know, it felt like a part of the script they didn't really think through.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
they had to move
the plot along, move
That's
it along.
Right.
But
did you like the rednecks trying to pull the hammer out of the ground?
Oh, yeah. There's a great bit where all these rednecks are trying to get the hammer out of the ground. Stan Lee has a hilarious cameo.
Oh, that's right.
Pulling the hammer with the truck, and the truck bed flips out.
Yeah, Peter, we're in Fort Worth. Like, everyone was just freaking laughing.
Yeah.
It was like, Stan Lee's here!
Yeah.
That was a rule. You know, sort of
and he's credited as Stan the Man in the credits.
Oh, so he should be.
Oh, always. Although, it's just funny. Stan Lee sort of... We worship him as this personality because he's created all these characters we love. Mm. You look at his work now... Awful.
Yeah.
What, The Governator? Has anybody here seen a trailer for The Governator? It looks pathetic.
Really?
Oh, it looks terrible. It's like Arnold is a superhero. Oh, great. You know, like Stan Lee's involved with it, putting his name on it. And I'm like, Stan, what are you, like Stripperella? Come on, Stan. Really?
What's going to be in the first episode of The Governor? It's going to be Arnold going to Maria Shriver.
Oh, get out!
Yeah! Get out, Maria!
You bitch, get out!
Get out of my governor's mansion!
If you see a 20-year-old downstairs, tell her to come up.
Get out! I'm trading up for a younger model.
You really stop pumping iron now.
Bring in Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Come on, Louis. Let's have some
Louis.
Fun.
Louis.
Big Louis.
All right.
Okay.
But anyway, so that was, I really loved that part with the pickup truck. That was, I mean, they got a good laugh and everything.
Yeah.
Especially with Stanley. That was so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But with Stellan Skarsgård, I felt he was lumbering.
Yeah, definitely.
It was like, and the corner, Andrew Farmer quite like, Paul Verdon fell on me. He was like, lumbering through his arms.
I mean, he doesn't have much to do as a character.
He doesn't, really. Yeah,
and, you know, that's not Stellan's fault. It's just his character is there to be the doubting Thomas.
One thing I had a problem with, and was maybe about half an hour into the film, it was just after Natalie Portman had her work taken off her. Okay, well, I think you said that the S.H.I.E.L.D. took everything off her. Why the fuck did they climb up on the top of the roof to talk about it? You know, all three of them are sitting on top of the roof.
So they can have that camera move up and see their legs hanging out.
That's stupid. Why climb three stories up to sit on the roof and complain about what S.H.I.E.L.D. just done to your equipment and your life's work?
Maybe it's got a nice breeze up there.
What, so all three are going to go on top of a roof? So there's a breeze on top of the roof. There's a potential for falling down. Yeah. Let's go climb up on the roof.
I don't know. That seems like nitpicking to me, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I do that when I think, why are they up there for? But that
no, I get it. I was kind of like, oh, they're up on the roof, okay.
Yeah, but, it didn't make any sense.
But I wasn't like, oh, well, this movie's going off the rails.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's a little, but whatever. Okay, they're on the roof, so what? And anyways.
Also as well, when Thor was getting beaten about by that thing that was sent down, you know, that big...
The Destroyer?
The Destroyer, yeah.
Yeah, the thing that looks like... I realize his design predates this, as it was pointed out to me by Mulberry Bill.
Yeah.
But the Destroyer, when I saw him, I couldn't help but think of Dio album covers.
Oh, like Angry Machines and all that?
No, not Angry Machines, like Last in Line. He looks like Murray the Demon.
Oh, shit.
You know, like the cover of Last in... I mean, like, I know he's on the cover of Holy Diver and stuff, but in Last in Line, he's got the fiery...
The big dog-looking thing?
Yeah. He looks a lot like the Destroyer. Anyway, so I was sitting there, and every time I saw the Destroyer come up, I wanted to hear Holy Diver playing, you know, or Last in Line. We're the last in line.
What can I destroy you for?
Yeah. Oh, R.I.P. RGD.
Send you back to Asgard!
I miss Ronnie James Dio.
No, who doesn't?
But
when that Destroyer was coming down, it was, you know, tearing Thor a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Thor's all cut up. He gets his hammer back. Hey, presto! There's not a mark on him.
Yep.
Come on, he heals himself as well.
Come on, it's the hammer. I mean, okay, I realize that's like, you know.
I mean, the hammer's fucking lethal, but it doesn't cure cuts.
Okay,
and
you know what it is. It's Deus Ex Machina. It's you know. It's something that comes in and saves the character, but now he's immortal again.
Yeah.
Now he's back to his invincible self, and he whips the Destroyer's ass, and then he goes back, you know?
He's flooring locks. You want another beer?
I think I'll wait till... but anyway, so he takes out the Destroyer, and then he goes with his friends, not sans Natalie Portman, back to Asgard to save the realm from Loki, who's has this elaborate Machiavellian plot to take over the realm, and even his end game isn't as it's not what you think it is.
No, it's not. Did you see it coming?
I saw parts of it coming, but what I didn't see coming was how he dealt with the Frost Giants. Colm Feore plays the lead Frost Giant.
Okay.
And he acts like he's their buddy and he's going to let him in and kill Odin. But when the leader of the Frost Giants comes in to kill Odin, they think Loki's on their side. Loki takes him out so he can appear to be a hero.
That's right.
Of the realm.
Yeah.
And it's all part of his big plan, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't see that part coming.
No. That was a good part.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get this big final battle between Thor and Loki, and the gateway between Thor and the realm of Earth is separated.
That's right.
So Thor can't go back to see Natalie Portman. But we know he's going to go back because there's going to be the Avengers movie. And if you stayed after the credits, you'd know Loki is there. And according to one of my friends who's a Marvel comic geek that I work with, he says that Loki is the sort of catalyst for the Avengers getting together.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know.
That's what we found out as well.
But definitely Loki was the character I was surprised how much I had fun with.
Yeah, very much.
Like, he was an awesome character. As you start off, I know Loki... I never read Thor comics, but I know Loki is Thor's nemesis and his brother. And so, you know, the whole time, he seems very peaceful and very reserved, and he seems like an okay guy, and then it comes out that, oh, wait, he's evil as hell. Yeah. Or not, but he has these, but like...
Is he evil? Is he turned evil? Well, he finds out he's adopted.
Well, but he was already, like, you know, trying to sabotage Thor. Mm. But all of his motivations are clear.
Yeah.
He's not just a scheming bad guy. He has a definite motive that makes, like any good villain. Anytime you have a villain, the character, something every screenwriter needs to realize, and they did a good job with this in Thor, that every villain is the hero, every book character is the hero in their own hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so Loki he's not just evil for the sake of evil's sake. He is, you know, he has very clear motivations that make sense. So so I thought he was one of the more fun Marvel villains we've gotten in recent history. Because, you know, in what do we got in Iron Man? In Iron Man,
We got Whiplash in number two.
We got Whiplash in number two, who's just...
15-second fight with that. Yeah.
Who's, you know, he's bitter about his old man. Great. Yeah,
where's my beard?
What?
I went my beard. Where's my beard?
Where's my beard?
Where's my beard?
On set, it's just like that, except it's Mickey Rourke going, where's my dogs? But,
where are my dogs at? Where are my dogs?
Hey, with my dogs. I went my dogs. Or as Jim heard him say, where are my babies? But, so, but,
these little poodles.
Or, but you know, in the first one, we got Jeff Bridges, but and he's a good villain, but then his end game is sort of
Yeah.
But,
did you like the fight sequences in Thor?
Yeah.
I thought they were good.
Yeah.
They were fun. I mean, they could have been worse than Iron Man, too. The 2 minutes we got were just a real friggin' disgrace, but...
Iron Man 2 is the best adaptation of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged we've gotten on film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Better than the Atlas Shrugged movie.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh,
saw that in the theater and put me to sleep.
Really?
Oh, it's boring. Mm. I actually didn't fall asleep. I stayed awake through the whole thing.
Really?
S-U-C-K-E-D.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I was...
And I am... Not like a person who goes in going, I'm going to hate this movie. I was like,
not like
movie.
Me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, but Thor. We're not talking about Atlas fucking Shrugged.
That's
Thor.
I mean, you recommend it? I'd recommend it for sure. Definitely recommend
it. Oh, yeah, I loved it. If you have any reservations about this movie, go see it. It's fun. I've only heard maybe one or two people say they flat out hated it.
Really?
Yeah. One of my friends in Texas said he flat out thought it was awful.
Okay.
But everyone else I know has said good to decent. I really liked it. I didn't think it was
give it a 5-star or nothing.
No. But if I had to give it a star rating, I'd give it 3.5 stars.
Yeah, it sounds better.
And that's a good thumbs up recommendation.
That's a good solid.
Frankly, that's way better than I could have hoped for from this movie. Because, I mean, looking at the pictures and stuff ahead of time, I was like, yeah, this looks kind of like a adventure through plastic land, you know.
But when the early photos leaked out, or not leaked out, or released last year, Thor, trying to pull the hammer out from the ground, he looked like Chris Jericho, the wrestler.
Yeah, he did.
And I actually thought it was like Chris Jericho. I'm like, oh, okay.
And then you found out it was your boy.
And that's right.
And you were like, oh no,
shit, why couldn't they put Chris Jericho on the film before? I did kind of hope for a wrestler to play Thor, but I mean, now that we've got someone who...
Yeah, the only wrestler who can act, though, and I'm going to... is The Rock, you know?
Alright, that's the end of this series forever. No, The Rock's alright. He's alright.
That's the end of the Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Yeah, again. For a second time.
But yeah, we enjoyed Thor.
Very much, yeah.
This was,
It's worth your time, definitely worth your money as well.
Yeah.
If anybody out there has actually seen it in 3D, can you let us know what...
Yeah, well,
how good the effects were in it?
If you've seen the movie in 3D, send us an email, midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or hit us on the Facebook page. Just let us know.
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what you thought. If you thought the 3D was worth paying the extra money for.
Yeah.
I wish I saw it in 2D.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest advocate of 3D, but, you know, if you felt it adds something to it, please, by all means, let us know. Because we're both speaking from the 2D experience.
Yeah.
But anyways, so,
cool.
any closing thoughts?
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
very pleasantly surprised. Like when I said to Rick, and he goes, "I won't do Rick's voice." And Rick said to me,
According to Wikipedia.
No, we're playing around.
We love you, Rick.
Yeah. When Rick asked me, guys, what'd you think? I deliberately said, it was all right.
Yeah.
For that. But then I did tell him later on, we're out dinner having burgers and shit. I said, it was really good.
Yeah.
I was just playing with you. I really liked it a lot. Would I buy it? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to pick it up.
Would I see the sequel? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The Avengers has got me worried.
Well, anything when you have a lot of characters like that is going to be tough to pull off.
Well, only because of the fact that, I mean, are we getting Robbie Downey Jr. as Iron Man or not? Remember the end of Iron Man 2? They said...
Has that not been announced? Do they not have that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really read much up on the Avengers.
If you know this, post on our Facebook.
Yeah. What trailers did you get before the film as well, by the way? Did you get Captain America and all that?
I got Captain America. I got X-Men First Class, which looks awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I am like...
Holy
shit. I am really excited for X-Men First Class.
Yeah,
like,
that one I want to see. We got...
Matthew Vaughn's going to knock that out of the park.
Can't be any worse than X-Men 3. Holy crap.
You can't be any worse than Wolverine.
Don't you talk about Wolverine, man. I love me some Wolverine.
Oh.
And also, we got... the Green Lantern one, which looks good.
Yeah, Green Lantern looks fun. A lot of people are ripping on it.
Really?
On the trailer, yeah. I think it looks fun, but, you know, it's directed by Martin Campbell, who has done really well with the Bond films.
Good.
Not so well with some other stuff. Edge of Darkness was...
Really?
Mel Gibson was really good in it, but everything else kind of stunk. It was really predictable.
As bad as the Beaver?
The Beaver hasn't come out. I'm actually going to see that.
Oh,
that looks
God.
Weird. That looks like a ball of weird. But anyway, so
then they need to have Mel Gibson with a Russian woman as a puppet on his hand running around.
Oh, no.
Smacking teeth out of his mouth.
Oh! Stu just made a joke about domestic abuse. Anyways, okay.
All right.
Closing thoughts for me. Really enjoyed it. Thumbs up.
Very much, yeah.
Give it 3.5 out of 5 stars if I had to give it a star rating.
I'll give it a snap, a twirl, and a kiss.
Yeah. So yeah, this is just a casual, laid back sort of.
If you can't tell by us eating and drinking,
we're just shooting the shizzle.
Yeah, know? This was very spur of the moment. It's like this is in the car on the way back.
We were just like, let's talk. We were talking.
We were
about
actually talking about it. We said, well, we better stop doing this and actually record a show and do about it.
So
all right, well that's us for tonight.
All right, I'm Hunter.
I'm Stu.
Adios.
See you, folks.